for ZEW Mobile Monitoring.
I've learned long ago not to count on having help for pretty much anything.
If you need help, I guess the first thing you got to do is ask for it. Most of the time, sometimes people will see your need and run to your rescue, but sometimes they're not aware of it. So anyway, but I'm headed to the tennis court, and that's the prize there. And hit that little fuzzy yellow ball. I played a clinic this morning, but just didn't get enough of it.
To your balls.
I wouldn't put it quite like that. Oh, Lordy. Yep, it's gonna be fun. 90 degrees, not too bad. I don't know what the relative humidity is. I've got that at home on my little weather station at home, but I forgot to look at it before I left.
Comment.
Hey, guys, it's KO4WWZ.
I looked you up on QRZ, and you don't have an email address. It just says ham member, and that's it. So here's what I've decided. You know, if you want the antenna, you can come get it. Just look up my call on QRZ. You'll see my address. Punch it in, you know, maps or ways or whatever. App you've got there on your phone for giving you directions and let me, you know, just you can get my email and off of QRZ and email me and let me know when you're going to be there. If I'm not there, I'll have it laying out so you can get to it.
Are you heading to Hayward Road today?
I'm getting ready to get on Edwards Road. Why? Is there a problem?
No, I'm talking about Haywood. If you're going to play tennis, I would come meet you in person real quick, if you didn't mind.
Ask away.
I have no question. Disregard that. Who else is in here? And what are we talking about?
Glenn's in here, and I can't remember his call, but he can tell you. Anyway, go ahead, Glenn, KB4CBA.
Not much going on. I just had to gas up the truck and get some money out of the bank. I want to drive tomorrow up to Knoxville. Somebody up there has a deal on some very cheap solar panels, which I'm going to do a couple of solar power projects.
So that's something I know absolutely nothing about, and I'd like to learn more about it. I'd like to be able to, have a setup to where I could use the solar panel and a battery to run my ham radio station when the power goes off.
Man, I would love to have a setup, because, you know, when you have to rely on the grid, I can go off grid and just have solar power with my station.
What I had here, Until now, I didn't have a battery that still worked. So right now, this is hooked up to the, you know, this mains power supply. But I had the little 100-watt toy solar panel on the roof coming down to a, basically an RV battery and going to this bus strip on the wall, you know, the 12-volt distribution node. It's got like a fused 12 fused outlets. So there's like two 20-amp outlets and, you know, whatever, a couple of 10-amp and 5-amp outlets. It's those Anderson power pole things, which are, you know, pretty good for power distribution.
Question, you're not going to need that 100-watt solar panel when you get these next solar panels. Would you be interested in maybe selling it?
Yeah, I suppose. I don't, you know, if it's worth much of anything still. I mean, I have a larger solar panel I could put there in front of it, or instead of it. Yeah, you know, you're not going to do very much with 100 watts. As I said, it kept the battery charged to run this radio. Maybe an HF radio, I don't know. Certainly one of these 2-meter radios. You know, that and maybe a light bulb to do for serious amounts of power. You would need, I would say, 10 times that, you know, to run like small appliances and things.
I don't want to try to run a 2-meter rig to a car battery. I want to try and make a separate power source other than my car battery to run my normal rigs.
Have to take it down from where it is, but yeah, if you want it, I suppose you can have it. I think my address on QRZ is probably correct.
Roger that. Would you like me to email you about a price negotiation, or are you not interested in money?
I'll tell you what, give me $50 for them. I don't really care, because I, you know, I do have a larger panel I could put there. I have a 270 watt panel that I could put in its place. That was designed actually for a 24 volt system, and I have another kind of broken. It only puts out about half the voltage. So I mean, if I wanted to run the solar battery with something else, I have panels I can do that with.
And would this panel be decent enough size for me to put it on the roof of my car or my trunk or something?
It's actually an array of four panels. The complete array of panels is maybe, hard to tell, 3 feet by 4 or 5 feet. I mean, I could go out and look and try to measure it for you.
You can do that later. I don't want to take you away from the radio. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind. Thank you very much. And, I'm wondering, would it be a good place to put my current 2-meter rig up for sale? I want to try and replace it with a Yaesu 2900.
Bad. 2-meter rigs I probably have a surplus of as well. This rig I just now, for some reason, got out of storage. I don't know why it was in storage. There's nothing wrong with it. It's an ICOM ICV8000. I don't know. If you wanted to buy spare 2-meter rigs, I'm not sure what I got. But basically the same ones that Harbor Freight had for sale. And the kit was only like $150 or so. It's basically four 25-watt panels, mounting screws and hardware and stuff. And, oh, that's right, you're going to need it. Well, you don't have it. You're going to need a charge controller, too. And it was the charge controller and some several light bulbs and things, you might be better off just going there and buying the kit. That way you're sure you have everything. Because you need the panels, you need the charge controller, which takes the whatever voltage is coming from the panels and regulates it to a, you know, more or less 12 volts or more or less 24 volts. And I forget what else was in the kit. There was a couple of 12-volt light bulbs or something, or 12 or 24-volt LED light bulbs. I mean, Harbor Freight has the kit. I could probably look it up for you.
Glenn, does the solar panel have a regulator between it and the battery to regulate how much, charge it sends to the battery so it doesn't overcharge it?
That's the purpose of the charge controller. It regulates the power down to from whatever is coming off the panels, maybe 18 to 20 volts, down to, 12 to 14 volts or whatever for charging. And it's also got some little indicators to tell you the state of the battery or how much current it's drawing or, whatever. The only reason this system isn't hooked up right now is I got another battery I could put here. But for years, that's what I was using it for. I was operating this radio off of that. A deep cycle RV battery. And that's all. The only reason it's not working right now is it's missing a battery. And I actually do have another battery.
Well, that answers my question. I was just a little curious about that because, because you don't want to overcharge the battery, but I figured they had something in place.
I wanted to ask you, this sounds very peculiar. Why is it that the cigarette lighter plug on the truck, a multimeter would read voltage of like somewhere between 12 and 14 volts, but not a single radio I plug in there is capable of even turning on? That doesn't seem to me to make any sense.
No, those sockets are very peculiar. They'll get to the point to where they just won't accept hardly anything like that you plug into it. But also, the problem could be that the wire is broken, and they could just be one strand of wire out of that whole wound of wire that's connected, and you're gonna see 12 volts there with a meter. But when you hook up something that draws any kind of amperage, it's gonna drop. The voltage is going to drop way down because that little wire can't handle all that, so that could be what's going on too.
Cancer I immediately thought of. The wires supplying those outlets are so badly frayed that out of 8 or 9 strands, there's maybe half of a strand left. So yeah, the meter will read 12 volts because voltmeters really don't draw any current. And plug something in. Okay, then that's it then. I got to rewire those outlets in order to get any power. Because I tried those two different Midland commercial radios I have. I tried this radio, this ICOM ICV8000. I tried at least 3 radios, and they couldn't get enough power even to turn on. And I'm like, there's voltage here, so what's the deal? But you're right, there's no other explanation. There's half a strand of wire left, and it can't carry any amount of current. It's, resistance is too high.
I'd run any radio straight to the battery. I don't run anything off the cigarette lighter like that. Anything that draws, you know, the amperage that these radios draw, which is anywhere from 7 to probably 12 amps or more, depending on the radio, you know, you don't want to plug that cigarette lighter. you're just asking for trouble. But anyway, but yeah, I would check the socket first, because those sockets are just, you know, they wear out easily, and you know, it's just probably just not making good contact in there, and you probably just need to replace it. But I would just start throwing parts at it, you know, until I'd take it out and look at it, and you know, and test it, you know, outside of the car.
That was my thought. That only just confirms what I already figured, because I can't think of any other. Okay, so here's the one that Harbor Freight had for $190, although I think I got it on sale for a whole lot cheaper. It was maybe $140 or $150. You know, the 425-watt panels, and there's a little frame that interlocks them together, and all the little fiddly bits. There's two LED light bulbs. There's various other cables, and there's the charge controller. So that was the, you know, the 100-watt toy panel. Although, again, 100 watts for just running a 2-meter rig should be adequate.
No, yeah, I wouldn't see any problem with that. Oh, man. Well, I've arrived at the sports club, so I'm going to run in and warm up, do some warm-up exercises, and see if I can get this show on the road here. Y'all have a good evening, and we'll talk to you later. KB4CBA.
Later. KB4CBA, KD2BNG.
Good day. It was nice talking to you. So it was going to be
Oh, yeah, and I guess here, I'm also Harbor Freight on this other page as well. You know, 100-watt monocrystalline solar panel for $130. But, you know, buy your own charge controller and wiring and other little fiddly bits to put it together. Solar panels have gotten cheaper. Actually, they've gone up a bit recently, but they were used to be fairly cheap. I think I got that entire kit that I mentioned for maybe $150. Harbor Freight was having it on sale.
Now, if I was running a dual band transceiver, would that still be adequate, or would I need more juice?
How a dual bander is going to draw any more current. You know, you're not transmitting on both sides at the same time. You know, the most power, obviously, you draw is during transmit. That might be, I don't know, depends on the radio. That might be 10, 15, 20 amps, you never know. If it's receiving and pumping out audio, maybe 2 amps. If it's receiving and just doing nothing, it's squelched, you know, probably less than an amp. So, yeah, I don't see how the dual bander is going to draw any more power. Took out of here and put on the bed somewhere, or it's on the coffee table. Yeah, that Kenwood dual bander, Kenwood TM733, I think, older radio. But yeah, the reason I don't really bother with dual band radios around here is I don't think there's more than 2 or 3 repeaters on 70 centimeters. I've actually got a radio that has, you know, like 20 or 25 of them programmed in, but I never hear activity on more than maybe 1 or 2 70-centimeter repeaters. So, you know, good to have. But I just, I don't really have any right now that I'm really using.
Okay. Would you be interested in parting with the Kenwood? Kenwood to get radio, and I only have a monodender. If you're not using it and I can use it, I would love it.
Which radio? That dual band radio?
Yeah, that's only if you're okay with parting with it. I would never force anyone to get rid of their equipment. That's just not what a ham should do.
Radio may also have been sitting around doing nothing. Well, yeah, actually, the reason all the equipment on the desk here was sitting around doing nothing is because of the battery issue. I finally said the hell with it. Get some power supply and just plug it into the wall. Yeah, I can, Let me come up with some decent price for that radio that's not, you know, I'll get back to you on that.
Can you see the 71A?
TM-733 is what I believe it is. It's an older radio from maybe the 1990s. It's not, you know, it's not computer programmable. So, you're going to have to program it the old-fashioned way through the front panel, huh? But, you know, it's not bad. It's real small. It's a very small, it's like a video cassette or a small book or something. It's not a big radio.
Anything Kenwood's a really decent radio anyway. Can it do DTMF and, stuff like that, or, yeah.
Well, in fact, maybe I could put a package of things together, of several things you might want. Just let me figure out what kind of price, if any, I could, let me get something to write with. Your call sign was exactly what again?
Alright, I'm going to say it once for ID, and then I'll repeat it again. This is Kilo Oscar 4 Whiskey Zulu for ID. I say again, my call sign is Kilo Oscar 4 Whiskey Zulu, K-O-4-W-W-Z, and I am for ID, I believe it's with K-D-2-T-B-N-G.
Contact info on QRZ is more or less current. I'll shoot you an email or something. Well, my contact info might be in there too.
I'm not updated my QRZ with my email. So my email is mycallsign@gmail.com, KO4WWZ@gmail.com. Good copy?
Yeah, mine is the same thing. My call sign at yahoo.com. Because I don't think I'm in QRZ either. Well, I do have an account, I just never updated anything. What I'll do is I'll send you an email in the next 2 minutes here.
Well, I'm currently mobile, so when I get off the road at my destination, QTH, I will definitely give that a check. And, sir, I really appreciate you working with me on helping me get some better equipment. I mean, I never roll a match track or anything else decent, but, you know, there's only so much you can do with a commercial radio, and it's not a whole lot, especially if you're a ham.
It's funny, too, especially the older ones. And the programming software can be hard to come by, yeah.
Kilo Delta 2 or Kilo Bravo 2? Bravo November Golf.
It's 2 Bravo November Golf.
Proud of that. Thank you. Traffic, good lord.
Yeah, 3 or 4 word email. See you you'll have my contact information.
Thank you very much. If you don't mind me asking, what class license do you hold right now?
I only have a general class, and, you know, I should upgrade it, or, you know, whatever. It's, you know, it is what it is.
I'm studying for my general right now, so I'm hoping to get up on the HF band really soon.
It's not terribly difficult. It may not actually be very much more difficult than the technician test. You know, the one that starts to get quite a lot more involved is the extra. I've never had a technician class license. I just went in there, I looked at the technician class and the general class questions, and I went to the, you know, for the same $15, you could sit for all three exams. So I took the first two, and, you know, and I basically almost got the third one. I was like six questions away from getting the extra class. So, okay, fine. You know, so, yeah, put in some additional study, and it shouldn't be that much more difficult.
It should not. And as soon as I get my general, probably within a few months, I'm going to be doing the same thing to get my extra. And then I'll have privileges on all the bands.
Study the extra class questions and, you know, knock them both out at the same time. Because there's nothing that says you have to sit for three different exams on three different occasions. Who went in there without anything and came out with an extra class license. So, yeah, you know, it's not too terribly difficult. There's a couple of good study guides. I may not be the one to ask about that, but I'm sure there's quite a few of them out there.
Time for field day?
In one field day once a while ago, and it's like, this is kind of fun, but it's also too much work. you know, it's a good way to meet, I guess, everyone else in the area, so you actually, you know, get to put a face to all the voices you've been talking to.
One thing I mainly like about it is, you know, if I spend two days out there and then Sunday, not only do I get to meet the people that are staying out there and have eyeball few shows and enjoy a good time, I get to make probably some lasting friendships as well, so it's always a pleasure.
After the first two or three or four hours of field day, no one will hold it against you. I don't think anyone actually stays there 24 hours and spends that much time working all the vans. Although I'm sure you have some dedicated hams that might do that. You know, mostly it's like, okay, where we are right now is in a basement somewhere, so let me make a few more contacts and get out of here.
That would be cool. Now, me, I believe I probably would be the more dedicated person because this past field day, I was invited by Chad to the Fleming UE, and I got there at the location for the DRARS. And after about two or three hours, I said, Leroy, which is Fast 5 WLL, I'm going home to grab my medications and my change of clothes and some food, and I'm coming. I'm going to stay tonight.
I mean, no one will hold it against you. Yeah, okay, I've been here 4 hours. I got to go change and get a shower, maybe a little snack, and, you know, I'll be by later. I'll come by towards the end of field day. And if you don't come by, no one will ever really notice. But, you know, at least they know you were there. They've seen you, you've seen them, you've met. Okay, well, now we've all met.
Favorite thing about ham radio? favorite thing about ham radio.
I haven't been, actually, for the past couple of years, I haven't really been nearly as involved as maybe I could be. I mean, right now, if I work the 2 meter band, occasionally once in a great moon, in a great while, that's about all I ever managed to get done. You know, I lost a bunch of equipment when I moved down. The button. That's the purpose of the desktop mic. It's easier to hold the button. But yeah, when I moved down here from Long Island, I lost a whole bunch of equipment. So for a while, I didn't even have anything set up. And you know, when I was up there, I didn't have a lot of room for antennas and that sort of thing anyway. And I'm sure the neighbors wouldn't have cared for it anyway. They would have been, you know, what is that thing? You screw up my TV reception. Get rid of that. So, you know, all the busybodies in the neighborhood wouldn't have let me put up all that much antenna equipment anyway.
Busybodies, I would say more like nosy, I don't know. Neighbors who have nothing else to do except complain about.
800 feet, turn right onto South Carolina. Hollis Boulevard.
Neighbors that have nothing to do except complain about, but the other neighbors that can't have fun and enjoy
life. I'm going to say I lost a lot of the equipment, but the truth of it is, Deborah's parents threw it all out. When I moved away, I came down here to look for property to buy. I'm here for like a total of maybe 4 or 5 weeks. I come back and my room's been emptied out. What the hell do you do? Oh, we thought you had moved away. Sorry, did I tell you that? Where did you think I was going to go? So, yeah, computers, radio equipment, GPS equipment, I don't even know what, because it's, you know, I don't know what I had, so I don't really know what, but yeah, it all ended up in some trash pile somewhere, so, mess with ham radio equipment, it just, that whole business of losing that equipment the way I did, it just left a bad taste in my mouth.
I can't blame you at all. You know, and probably most of your equipment, if not all, probably cost you a too. So that's just outright disrespectful. I mean, before you throw somebody's things out, you should at least call and ask, hey, do you still want this radio equipment you got up here? That's, you know, kind of disrespectful.
And it's not as though they had no way to reach me. I'm sure my mobile phone would still have worked. It works down here when you're not in New York. You know, they could have at least called me. But, you know, that's why I was mad as hell at Deborah's parents for probably years after that. You know, her dad more than her mom. Her dad could be a bit of a hard-headed idiot. But, yeah, you know, and that's why eventually I maybe ended up moving away anyhow, because, you know, that whole family, you know, blood is thicker than water is what it is. And, so, you know, Deborah and I were never really married, but it's not like we weren't together for, 10 or 15 years. So I guess I was still the outsider, and maybe they...
I can't say I blame them. Although, you know, you and me kind of have something in common. I'm not married, nor do I have a girlfriend. I do want to have a girlfriend. And and to be honest, just one of the reasons I wanted to have one so bad is because I've never in my entire life ever had my first kiss. And I know to an older person that seems like, oh, well, it's not that great anyway. But, you know, it's gotten to a point in my life where all my friends from high school have either got girlfriends or they've gotten married. And I'm probably the only guy left that's actually single. Not to mention, you know, never having my first kiss, that stinks. And the thing that makes dating a real pain in the rear end is that sometimes the girl dads can become a little too overprotective, and then they treat you like dirt because you're out dating their daughter. And they don't like you because you're a guy who's dating her daughter, and they don't take too kindly to that.
Cut out anything by not being married. Probably save yourself quite a lot of money. Not that I have nothing now, anything now, but I would have less than nothing if I'd ever been married, or started a family or anything like that. You know, I'm close to 60 now, so not going to happen. But yeah, save myself tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars by not clamping on that money sucker. So, it's, you know, marriage, whatever, it's not always for everyone. And I'm sure you and I both know people who are still in their 20s or early 30s, and they're already on, like, their third or fourth spouse, and they're paying alimony to two more, and they got, you know, three kids by four different fathers. So, it's not for everyone.
I agree. Even the Bible says sometimes there will be those who are meant to be single.
3, Foxtrot, Zulu, Victor, break.
Go ahead.
Yeah, W3FCV, just looking for a radio check on a new mobile install.
Yeah, alright. You said break. If you're... Yeah, I don't know if you're new or not, and forgive me, but in the ham radio business, break usually means you have an emergency. Your signal strength is coming in very well. I would say you're probably about a 5, maybe a 9.
Thank you. Sorry for using the wrong protocol there. I'm still a relatively new ham. W3FZV clear.
Roger that, and anytime you'd like to enter into a conversation, just say comment. We'll let you in, don't worry.
I wonder what break is really supposed to mean. If you want to interject something, just say comment, wait till you're recognized, give your call sign. Or, hey, dumbass, or whatever, you know. Break is supposed to be I don't know what it is. Well, maybe we should key down the repeater and key it up again. Yeah, that is a good question. What's the official use of the word rake?
Station, any station, if you can chime in on that, we'd appreciate it. My recollection is that rake and that radio means I have an emergency, please respond.
So something called emergency. Break, it indicates maybe you temporarily need the channel for something. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But if you want to... Yeah, break might mean you temporarily need the channel, you know, for a high-priority message. But there also is an emergency keyword. So, break or comment, I don't know.
It's comment. If you're just entering into a regular
key set. KI4LZI Mobile, the way I remember is when you put first come on, kind of like what I just done here, you give your call sign. Then the stations on here will recognize you. But you're using brakes here on the ham bands. Technically, you're not supposed to do that unless it's an extreme emergency. It's not like on 11-meter band.
Thank you, Andy. I really appreciate that. That's why when that station broke in right there, I had to let him know, because for a minute there, I thought something was really wrong, and I wanted to give him the frequency to do what he needed to do.
Being here long, but I just heard y'all discussing that. You come into a queue, so what's going on, and someone in the keys, you come in and put your call sign in. What you're supposed to do, that's the technicality of what you're supposed to do. And not use brakes here, that applies to 11 meters, but not here on the ham band. Y'all carry on, because I'm going to be designated here in a bit. KI4LZI Mobile.
Roger that. The W3 station, if you're still listening and monitoring the frequency, anytime you want to break into a QSO between any two or more stations, just say comment followed by your call sign. So it's not going to do if me and KD2DNG are talking, or hey, KD2DNG and Chad KO4DNG are talking, what you would do is you wait for a pause in the conversation and then say comment KO4WWZ, or your call sign. Comment, and then your call sign, and then they'll recognize you.
Try to leave more space between transmissions. You don't do what I just did. I think I locked horns with Andy there. You probably heard either his transmission or mine. Yeah, okay, that confirms, I think that sort of confirms what I said. Break means I need the channel now for a high priority message. Oh, no, actually, break we don't use, right? That's a CB thing. All right, so, yeah, comment, see if the chatter stops, and then throw out your call sign, and then say whatever you're going to say.
I have a very good illness. I'll tell you that right now. If it wasn't for Chad, I wouldn't know how to talk on ham radio. And not to say that I know everything, at least I know a little bit of how to behave on the frequency. If it wasn't for him, I would be lost.
Breaking the protocol is going to send the FCC police to your house. You know, we do it all the time here. Half the time on this repeater, I don't hear 10, 20 minutes go by and I don't hear call signs. Usually what happens is after a while, people know each other. Yeah, I know who it is. Although, yeah, technically every 10 minutes you're supposed to give your call sign. But I think it's probably less formal on certain bands.
I don't know if it's officially a rule from the FCC or not, but I think it is that we're not supposed to use dirty language on the repeaters or any of the ham bands either, but I could be wrong about that. But anyway, there's nothing against you on that. I've heard that QRM on here. My goodness, some of the things I've heard him say, I'm surprised he can still get on the radio and do that.
FCC, you know, they have better things to do, like see if Janet Jackson is showing her nipples on CBS. Remember that incident at the Academy Awards or something? The ham bands are pretty much self-policing. You know, the FCC response to complaints. You know, like somebody is constantly abusing the band for whatever reason. But, you know, be aware that, you know, don't you don't always have to take it that seriously.
If I ever seem like I'm taking it too seriously, don't be mad with me. I'm just making sure I keep my license privileges. It ain't nothing against anybody.
Recently licensed hams, it's kind of like new drivers. When you first learned driving, when you were 15, 16, whatever, remember how everything was real serious? Okay, I'm going to get in the car and sit down exactly in the right place and do up my seatbelt and adjust all the mirrors and, you know, put my hands on the steering wheel at exactly the 10 and 2 o'clock position and then check the mirror and back up and check the mirror again and then look over my shoulder and go out, you know, merge into traffic. And now we've just gotten so accustomed to doing all these things that we're not aware of them. So, you know, a quick look at my shoulder. Oh, okay, I'm going to go now. So it becomes less formal as time goes on, simply by, you know, sheer repetition. As you hear the more licensed people on the air, the ones that have had been licensed for like 30 years, like, yeah, hi, yeah. Yeah, everybody knows who I am, all right. So, yeah, I guess it's good to keep up a certain level of formality and a certain level of protocol, but eventually as you get, as you operate more, it'll probably start to slip.
Definitely. I am trying to find my glasses cleaner, and I can't find it.
And sometimes, on the other hand, familiarity breeds contempt. That incident in the mid-1980s with the Korean Airlines plane that got shot down by the Russians, that was because even though that pilot had literally made that run a dozen times before, he forgot one critical number to put to the guidance computer. Or, you know, something was off by one number, and it ended up, you know, a few hundred miles later, the plane's 100 miles off course. So, you know, on the other hand, you do want to stick to procedures, but on the first hand, I guess you don't want to be enslaved by them.
That's true.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember hearing what happened during that, as best as they could dissect what happened during that incident. And, yeah, that pilot had done that route from, I guess, Alaska or California to just South Korea. He had done that like two or three dozen times before. But, you know, on this one occasion, I skipped the one thing in the checklist. I put in the wrong VOR frequency, or I put the wrong thing into the guidance system. And it was just an error of 1 or 2 degrees. But, you know, a couple of hundred miles later, that becomes a big error. So, I don't know what my point is. You know, don't become too complacent.
I don't remember. I know you called KETDMG. What's your name again, sir?
Golf Lima Echo November, and I'm in Cray Court. I'm not as active on this repeater as I used to be, but you know, I'm starting to get back into it.
I believe I've heard you a few times before, man. I think I've heard you even check into a couple of times.
Check into the net pretty much every night, 7 days a week. And then weeks and months, or possibly even a few years went by when, you know, if I managed to catch it every other week, you know, it's your interest waxes and wanes, or just sometimes you get involved with other things, or what is it they say, life gets in the way.
Okay.
Just now, maybe, since it's been a few months since I've pretty much jettisoned all social media, you know, I guess you need to contact people some other way. But social media was starting to annoy me, so I don't think I have anything left as far as that goes.
I will agree with you. I think free speech is becoming a rarity more and more than nowadays.
Well, what happened is during the 2+ years of the pandemic, people didn't interact in person as much. So they both fell into their little social media holes, their little social media ruts in the ground. And, you know, not having in-person contact with people and getting your social interaction from these computer bulletin boards, it probably does strange things to your head. Hey, I'm going to wake up today, grab a rifle, and shoot a bunch of people. You know, because I spend all this time on social media, and I started to go to these more strange, bizarre, and nuttier parts of the internet.
That's the unfortunate thing, you know. People kill people for no reason more so nowadays than back in my grandfather's days. I mean, my grandfather said that in his time, if you did somebody that way, you were going to jail for the rest of your life. If not, you'd be put to death.
It's just blame, but social media is part of it, and isolation is part of it. People not having proper in-person social interaction for the better part of 2 years, and then falling down these chat board rabbit holes into, you know, places you don't really even really need to hang around there because they're talking trash. And, you know, some people got radicalized in a lot of cases by these websites. You know, it goes in your head, it stirs it around, you get a bit pishibble, you get a rifle, but so that's why I canceled most of my accounts.
That's probably not a bad idea.
There's just, I haven't visited any of them, but there's probably, how many, hundreds that are spewing all this, hatred, radicalism, and it, you know, it's just too much. And if you don't have interaction with other people in the real world to sort of bring you back into reality, your mind gets out of the groove and goes in some weird directions. And part of it is isolation, and part of it is you basically just. Well, the shooter in Buffalo who shot up the grocery store, what did he basically say when he was captured? Oh, I got bored, and I started hanging around all these message board websites. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you're not bored anymore. You're going to be bored in prison, though.
That's just outright, I would say stuff like that is a huge problem.
It's a recent phenomenon, I don't know. The internet's made it easier. It's democratized the spread of hatred and propaganda. You know, before you actually had to have a book published or a radio show or something. Now all it takes is, what does it cost to get a website? Probably very little. So, it's spread. We're going to get into a First Amendment problem here, but it's spread too much. I don't want to get into how to balance the First Amendment, because that gets you in a whole other discussion. And I don't want to be one to say sometimes you need less free speech, because I'd be the last person to ever say that. But now if I figure out what I'm trying to get at here, I'll let you know.